This was a very high budget wedding. It went awry, but we made a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and in the end, they were absolutely thrilled.
Welcome to How We Bloom, an oasis of flower ideas. I'm your host, Sharon McGookin, AIFD, AAF, PFCI, and I believe that every great success story starts with one simple idea. That's why we interview those who dare to do things differently, inspiring people who plant seeds, grow ideas, and bloom to their full potential. In this podcast, we listen, learn, explore new opportunities, and that's how we bloom. Today, we'll discuss weddings and events, specifically the challenge of how to turn disasters into delight. We've all had that wedding, the one where things beyond our control start to roll, and how can we regain control? When it comes to wedding flower design, E.M. Prosser, AIFD, AAF, PFCI, NDSF is the prince of perfection, a director of detail, planner of petals, one of the most sought-after wedding and event floral designers in the world. Ian and his Botanica team of Tampa, Florida, make flower magic happen for weddings and events. If you're trying to place Ian's intriguing accent, he was born in Scotland, starting his career with three floral design shops in Glasgow. He was the youngest person in Scotland to win Floral Designer of the Year. He received the highest European honor in floral design, the National Diploma of the Society of Floristry. In the U.S., Ian excelled in the floral industry. He's an active member of AIFD and SAF. Among other events, Ian has contributed to the design of President Bill Clinton and President George W. Bush's presidential inaugurations. You get it. He has a busy schedule. Ian is known for rushing from one fabulous event to another. The photos are glamorous. The wedding design's exquisite. Botanica events come together in perfect detail until they don't. Sometimes Mother Nature throws us a few challenges, even for those who are at the top of their game. Having scanned so many beautiful photos of Ian's work and witnessed the pleasure of wedding couples week after week, it was quite a shock to see photos of an exhausted Ian standing in a rain slicker, soaking wet in a downpour of rain. He had just survived a simultaneous wedding and tornado. Ian came out the victor, but what a challenge it was. Ian posted the story of the wedding beset by the storm. He shared the details about how the Botanica team turned failure into a fabulous finish. Now that's a story we can learn from. Later, Hurricane Ian offered another opportunity to relearn the can-do lesson amidst local destruction. In the world of events, the show must go on. The Botanica team loaded flowers into transfer trucks and magically moved a wedding from Florida to New Jersey and New York. Just another day in the life of a mega florist, right? How do wedding flower design stories go from disaster to delight in times of challenge? Floral expert Ian Prosser is here to share his hard-earned insights with us. Flowers aren't just about being pretty. This story is about being prepared. Please welcome my dear friend, Ian Prosser.
Well, hello, Sharon. How are you this morning?
Doing well. And you?
Good. I'm good. We are kind of back on track now after this Hurricane Ian. And we are, apropos that it's named after me.
I was just thinking exactly that.
My namesake. And it created so much havoc. But at least we have this weekend, we have a normal weekend, which is really kind of nice because we had so much affected by the hurricane. And I guess we can touch on that a little bit later. But one wedding that really caused us to, well, think on your feet. You know, it's pointless panicking. because you have a job to do. You have a very set time frame that you have to be complete in. And so we had a planner we worked with that we both had to think on our feet and decide what is best for this wedding. The wedding itself was supposed to take place at the Catazan, which is the hunting lodge of John and Mabel Ringling, which is no regular hunting lodge. The entire thing is marble. So it's not quite a log cabin in the woods. So it's really quite fabulous with this very grand terrace that leads down to the water. So we arrived there ahead of time, which, I mean, that's my big thing. I don't want to arrive on time. I want to be there ahead of time so that I can assess all situations. So we get there and, you know, the wind is blowing. We've been watching the weather for, you know, the last few days. We get there and there is absolutely no way that the ceremony can take place where it was supposed to take place. So the planner had a plan B. And so we moved to plan B, which was now instead of being at the back of the house, which overlooks the water, to be at the front of the house, which has beautiful gardens and a grand driveway. And you can be married. We do many weddings there that are in front of these gorgeous, elaborate doors. Anyway, it's just, you know, let's rethink it. We decide that this is where it's going to be. I'm not overly happy about it because the driveway needs to be accessible until 3:30. And I had a $20,000 structure to get produced. It was 10 feet square and 12 feet tall. And it took 6 designers 4 hours to produce. So now the planner has decided it's to be at the front of the building. And the facilities manager came out and said, you know, you really can't do it here because it can't be put in place till 3:30. Well, there's no way that we could physically lift it because of the weight. You know, so many Oasis cages on there to attach the flowers. And I was pretty thrilled by that we could not, because it's a facility that we're not allowed to drive anything into the ground. We're not allowed to attach anything to a staircase handrail, or it has to be completely freestanding. So I knew that moving into plan B, it was really going to have to be plan C. And with a bit of reluctance on the planner's part, and certainly on the bride, we had to move to plan C. Plan C being that adjacent to this building is a tent that they were going to use for cocktails. And the whole big thing was, well, what we're going to do with the cocktail party? And I said, quite frankly, I don't really care about the cocktail party. We can move that somewhere. We've got to attend to the ceremony.
Do you find that that's the key in the first step when things start to roll out of control, is you have to get a willing consensus with the major players?
Yes. And sometimes wedding planners are, you know, they are people pleasers, and they want to make their brides happy. As we all do. So, you know, I had already been to the house and dropped off the wedding bouquets. And said to her, you know, just so you know, I mean, I greatly doubt that we can do the ceremony where you want it to be. But as long as I have your trust and that you know that I have your best interests at heart, we will make this as fabulous as we can. But we have to, you know, address the reality of the situation.
I remember saying to a bride, it's like putting together the pieces of a puzzle. And until you get on site, you don't know exactly how the pieces are going to fit. So if you come in and it's changed, it's because the puzzle pieces changed and we had to refit.
Right. And it's so funny that you say that, Sharon, because I explain to brides that weddings are like a jigsaw.
Yes.
And we all hold a piece and we puzzle together, and sometimes it's not quite the picture that we that we were looking at. This was a very high budget wedding. It went awry, but we made a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And in the end, they were absolutely thrilled. She cried. She hugged me. He hugged me and thanked me for being able to turn it around. So fortunately, in this tent, they had a, although the, you know, the canvas is blowing like crazy, they had a 54-inch crystal chandelier. And I said to the client, okay, this is what we're going to do. I mean, I eventually just had to take charge and say, okay, I understand what you're saying, but the practicality of it is A, B, C, and this is what we need to do. And so planner's assistant on my side. And, you know, of course, the planner herself is also addressing every other vendor, not only me, but, you know, we have this crystal chandelier. We can build the structure around it so that it looks like it was meant to be this way. We can do the seating in the round so everybody has an awesome view. And we were doing this 70-foot long meandering path on either side. So I had all of these flowers that I could make everything look fabulous. So we created a beautiful entrance. We had flowers all along the back of the seats that at the entrance where guests would arrive, and did flowers all the way down the aisle. And we even had enough flowers to do the facing side of the aisle. So, you know, it really turned out gorgeous. It really was beautiful. But then came the reception. Oh my gosh. That was that. It's a completely open space, a courtyard in the museum, and they do not allow tents to be erected. So we knew we were out in the open. We knew that the weather was going to lift towards the end of the day. But, you know, things need to get done. So the ceremony took place. You know, we were over at the other space. We had three gorgeous archways for guests to walk through. And we had to use furniture belts and strap them to trees.
I remember, too, you said that you had these huge, heavy containers that were just flipping over you were having to just basically cram the flowers back in to make them upright.
Right. So as the day progressed and the reception was coming together, I mean, all of my crew were working like crazy speeds to try and get this done because we had been so held back by other issues. And then the grass area where you unload, they were only letting one vehicle in at a time because the grass was so wet. So that up for another couple of hours. So now you've got 15 people held up for 2 hours. We've now lost 30 hours of install. Yes. And I became like, you know, this little general, you know, shooting orders. I explained to the staff, please don't take this personally. But you know, I have got to keep you on track here. So now the first look is kind of the where people entered, and they had these beautiful archways. Could happen no more. We had now to use that for the cocktail area, and we had a gorgeous round bar with these huge accent decor containers that we had filled with weights, and then we used like a flower bucket with probably 12 bricks of wet oasis foam in there. So you're talking a substantial weight, and then all the flowers.
So because you told me those original weights were about 50 pounds each. So yes, it was a heavy. Yeah.
So we had added 50 pounds and then all the oasis foam, then flowers. So these beasts were exactly that. So we were working away and everything was fine and everything was calm and you know, the weather was playing with us and we were getting stuff done. And all of a sudden I hear this almighty crash, and I thought it was a caterer situation where plates had smashed or something. And I look up and the four big arrangements that were to be in this bar had all blown off onto the ground.
Oh, no.
The containers, the flowers were smashed. the containers were, some were broken. Fortunately, we always carry some extras just in case. So we used two of the least broken containers.
The least broken ones.
The least broken containers. And we had to, on the spot, make these $1,500 arrangements over it. But we did it. We did it. And, you know, they were thrilled. We just had to reshuffle.
We did it.
We just had to reshuffle everything, and stuff that was supposed to go in one area did not, and stuff that was supposed to go in another area did. And when all is said and done, you know, the client was extremely happy. It was beautiful. Sadly for us, it was not exactly how it was supposed to be. So you don't get those glorious images that you were going to get. You know,
you learned a lot of valuable lessons. I remember when you were telling me about it originally, you said one of the major lessons, once the trucks could only come in one at a time because of the wet grass, you said a lesson that I learned is from now on, I will number those trucks.
Right.
And the one that has the Oasis products in it will be the first truck, not truck number four, because you had to unload all the trucks to get to everything you needed. If you could speak to that for a second.
Yeah. I think you have to look at every situation as a learning experience. And that's what we learned from this. You know, this was $200,000 in flowers and lots of containers and lots of Oasis foam and cages and raquette bars and all of these different things. But a lot of things had to be produced there. So had I numbered the trucks as to, you know, this is this and this is that, you know, then I would have known. I will most decidedly do that the next time. You know, we were all thrown a curveball with the load-in area only allowing one truck in at a time, which was a bit of a disaster. But anyway, you know, we live to tell the tale. I most certainly learned from that, and that's a mistake that I will not make again. So, you know, as old as dirt as I am, you can still learn. And I think the one of the most valuable things, you know, you have to be open to continue to learn. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in this business. And that certainly was something that day that I thought, dang it, you know, we're getting held up because we're bringing candles and all of this stuff off first because it's the first truck to arrive or the first truck to get into the loading zone. So, yeah, it was, let me tell you, there may have been a cocktail or two consumed that evening.
But that's how you go from grit to glory. Yeah. You know, you learn and you do again. And thank you for sharing that with our audience. That's what I hope we come away today from this podcast, is people look at your work as so glorious and think, oh, it's easy for him because he has the big budget. Wedding flowers are easy for no one.
Right.
Always a challenge. And so if we can come away today with how we meet those challenges, yours are on a really big scale. So if you can meet those challenges, then the rest of us on a smaller scale can use those lessons in our own weddings and for help. That was the one that I noticed. I can't tell you the shock that I felt, because I always, when I look at your column on Facebook, there's always like such beautiful pictures, and you always say, oh, the bride and groom were so wonderful for this wedding and they were so happy. And then there was you in the rain slicker saying, I want to talk to hell.
Round right. I mean, Zoe had welly boots on, you know, our art thing, but we all had blisters on our feet because our feet were so wet because the tables were on, a lot of the tables were on grass. But yeah, it was just that was certainly one to remember. It really was.
And you thought, this is the worst that can happen, but that was before you heard that Hurricane Ian was coming.
Yeah. You know, That was something else. And people are like, oh my goodness, it's your namesake and it's going to trash everyone. I'm like, yeah.
You know what? I've seen you in a couple of torrents where that Scottish brogue clips in. And I know why they named that Hurricane Ian.
It's not pretty. Let me tell you, it is not pretty. Once I'm there, I'm there. But what happened was we had, you know, it was supposed to be a head-on hit for Tampa. So we have this mythical story that there's ancient Indian burial grounds at the mouth of the entrance into Tampa Bay, and that we are always protected by that. And you know what? We really have been. So goodness knows if that's the truth, but Tampa was spared. But, you know, as we realize our, you know, we've actually, my whole family have gone out of town 40 miles to another daughter's house. And of course, we get 40 miles closer to the dang hurricane. So, you know, her yard ends up looking like firewood because all of our trees were getting blown down. It was horrendous. But as soon as we realized that our homes and our business was going to be safe, our focus goes on to the island of Boca Grande, which is where we do a lot of very high-end weddings. And, you know, that kind of comes down to, you know, don't carry all your eggs in one basket kind of thing either. So we had, I believe, in an 11-week period, we had 9 weddings going to be in Boca Grande. So oh, wow. The first one was canceled because that was a Saturday after the hurricane and nobody was getting on island. I mean, there's barely a leaf left on any of these trees. And, you know, there's a probably, I don't know, 150 foot tall banyan tree or maybe 100 feet tall banyan tree blown on its side, you know, which is a favorite marriage location. So that's gone now because they tried to upright it and stake it and get it to take, and it just continued to die. So they've had to remove that tree.
Oh, how sad.
Which is very, very sad. It was a very beautiful tree. So anyway, you know, the following week we're supposed to have a wedding, and all the flowers were purchased. And so this couple, we actually had a flower sale here at our business and sold the flowers for less than they cost us. And we were able to donate, I think, $4,300 to their church that they were supposed to get married in. So at least some good came from that, which was really nice. But the following week, being the 15th of October, so the hurricane happened on the Wednesday. By Friday, we heard rumblings that they may have to move it. By Sunday, we knew the wedding had been moved to New York City. And this family had quite some pull. The bride and groom live in New York, and 60% of their guests were from New York or New Jersey. And so this family have quite some pull, and they made a phone call to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And guess what? Within 10 days, we had a 6:15 time slot for this wedding on a Saturday night, which is completely unheard of. Apparently, they have a 2-year waiting list to get married at the church.
Wow.
Or at the cathedral. So anyway, so that was now Sunday. So Zoe and I worked on it very heavily on Monday and had many discussions with the family, with the groom. And, you know, these were very emotional conversations because everybody's in a complete tailspin. You know, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do with all these flowers? You know, they thought that we were just going to not send the flowers or not do anything with them, which, you know.
You were going to absorb the cost of the flowers is what they thought.
Exactly. I mean, from a contractual standpoint, we actually, a wedding being canceled with us within 30 days, we were not due to return any money at all. That is in our contract.
A question I was going to ask you. Do you place all of these considerations into your contract? And after you've had the tornado and the hurricane, has that changed the way you approach it in your contract?
Yes, we have now added to our contract that in order to have us do your wedding during hurricane season, that they must have proof of wedding insurance. So, you know, wedding insurance doesn't cost a whole lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, but it makes sure that all of your vendors are taken care of. They mm-hmm. all get paid, and the bride and groom or the family get 80% back. So if the okay. wedding's $1,000, they're going to get $80,000 back. So we're insistent now that that takes place, because as we go further down the line, you know, we now have two weddings that have canceled, and they have, one has gone to Miami and one has gone to New York State, and they do not have the funds to transport us there and, you know, cover all the other expenses. So anyway, so we've had to add that into our contract. But this wedding, hurricane was Wednesday. By Sunday, we know we're going to New York. Thursday, Zoe and I go to New York, spend 15 hours, including travel, in the city, looking at St. Patrick's Cathedral, finding all the logistical nightmares. Remember, it's right in the middle of Manhattan. So, and here are we, you know, from Florida, and we've never dealt with that before. I know that many of my peers deal with it on a regular basis, but we hadn't. So
one point I'd like to make is that Zoe is your daughter and your right hand person.
Yes, she is the creative director, and she is my right hand. I could not function without her. So,
and as side note, she's very beautiful,
inside and out. So that's yeah. a good thing. Then on, we were Thursday. So then Monday, we had a truck leave with, you know, everything that we needed, from containers to tables to heaters, because we ended up working in the family's barn, which was not heated. And I was afraid in case the temperature would dip and, you know, we might have an issue with the product. And it did fall to about 37 one night. So I was a little bit concerned about that. Anyway, so, you know, we had to take all the buckets and whatever. So, of course, the flowers got rerouted to New Jersey. We found a wholesaler that would accept the flowers for us, and then we went there and picked them up. So two staff, as I say, headed off on Monday with a truckload of stuff, and then five of us flew in on Tuesday to start to produce the wedding. So the production went without a hitch at all. I mean, the flowers came in beautiful, everything. Of course, remember now, it's a complete rework of the reception that we were doing. So we had about 50 hours of redesign into this wedding, which, you know, we're all under, you know, pressure and duress from this whole situation. So we did not charge the client for those extra hours. And, you know, maybe we should have, but we didn't.
That's a question I was going to ask you. How did you approach the customer with the fact that there was going to be so many more expenses, you know, flying people there, driving the truck there? Were they understanding about the fact that this was requiring a lot more expense?
Yeah, they were, fortunately, they're a wealthy family, and they were just beyond appreciative that we would actually go to New York and do this wedding.
Fantastic.
Because, you know, for them, trying to find somebody that could produce it, I mean, we were going to refund some monies to them that would have covered the labor on the other side, but finding a florist that all of a sudden needs to do this wedding that was in excess of $100,000, and you're just receiving boxes of flowers, and you don't, I mean, I would have had a conversation with them had they chosen to go that route. But anyway, they said, you know, we have every level of trust in you. We know that it will be beautiful. We want you to come and do the wedding. So,
fantastic.
I mean, So what happened was, you know, here we have this small Catholic church in Boca Grande, and it only holds 90 people. So, you know, they were doing seating for another 90. It was 180 guests in the courtyard of the church, but everything was much smaller, you know? So here we are, we've got two altarpieces in this small church that are like, I don't know, $550, $600 a piece. And then we had aisle stuff, and we had the gates, and we had the lamp standards outside. And all of a sudden, guess what? We're in St. Patrick's Cathedral, where these flowers looked like a bud vase. So, and then they wanted to add more stuff to it. So I had to go back to her and say, you know, well, I've credited you for A, B, C, and D, you know, garlands and gates and blah, 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 but it still comes out at, we need another 4,000 in order to do in the church what you want. Failing that, we need to cut things. And so they were the most delightful family ever. I mean, they were delightful. And so they gave us everything we needed. They said, you know, we rented vehicles. We had 33 room nights, I believe, or 34 room nights in hotels. Yeah. So it was a difference of $24,000, but they did it. And, you know,
and you did it. I think that's a point to be made. They did what they needed to do to make the changes, but you did also. Not everyone would say, let's get a truck and go. So I think they probably understood the value of the person they had commissioned originally.
Right. Right. So they just, I mean, we had a brief conversation because, you know, everybody is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. And the groom's mother, Janet, who was paying for the flowers, said, look, Ian, we 150% trust you. Just do it. And so I said, okay. So
we did. That's a blessing that you're not fighting the battle of the people in addition of the battle of the weather. And
right. Exactly. So, they were just very nice. You know, we had another meeting once we got to New Jersey. They lived in New Jersey about 45 minutes from the city. So fortunately, they had a big barn. I had initially said, you know, could we work in your garage? And she said, hey, I have a barn, you know, with running water and blah, blah, blah. And you have plenty of space and here you go. So that's what we did. That's what we did. You know, we just set to it. I had, you know, called some friends to join the team up there because we had another big wedding going on in Tampa that weekend. And it really was a pretty cool experience, I have to say. You know, I mean, we had to turn around within a 10-day period, which was amazing that we did. And you know, what you had planned for here didn't work for there. And we, you know, we were supposed to have floral chandeliers hanging. We no longer could do that because we were in a museum for the reception, which was a whole other experience. Probably one of the most unpleasant experiences that I've had in 40 odd years of being in this business. And it was all down to the facilitator in the museum. It goes back to what my parents used to say to me, and what I say to my kids and to my staff, and it should probably be on my headstone when the day comes, you know, it's not what you say, it's the manner in which you say it. And she just treated us like absolute dirt. And it was a very unpleasant experience. And she just threw up as many hurdles as she possibly could. But you know what? We got it done. And when we got to 5 o'clock, there were things that we could now do in public spaces of the museum because they don't allow it until the museum has closed, which I completely understand. And, you know, we had to have somebody staged at the bottom of the staircase to catch leaves as they fell. Come on. it's Smilites were... And we're not dropping, you know, but they didn't want leaves falling on the glass. which was totally ridiculous. So now you've lost a person until the case is complete. And then we had this whole other situation that she was very derogatory in the way that she spoke to us and about us, and had a conversation telling somebody, tell the florist this, and I was standing right next to her. So, you know, you just have to kind of bite the bullet, and there are some of these people in the world, and you have to realize that we are there for the client, and there we go. So that,
and you also have to just maintain your dignity to prove to them how wrong they are.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, that becomes a challenge also. The added emotion of dealing with negativity adds another layer to the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it's just, it could have been as simple as, I mean, I had met her in the walkthrough, but it could have been as simple as, I know it's your first time here, let's run over some of the details that we need to be aware of, you know, and just make it warm and fuzzy. I mean, we carried in, because of this janky elevator, we carried in 50 buckets of flowers, put them down, and 10 minutes later, she tells us we need to move them. So we moved them, and then we just got those 50 buckets positioned, and she told us that, oh, I forgot to tell you, you need to put a tarp down. So we had to move them again to put the tarp down. So these flowers got handled four times more than they needed to be. And it just, you know, the sand is running out of the hourglass at that point in time. So anyway, we got it done. The client was over the moon. And, you know, I just got to a point at the end of the setup that I just needed to leave the building. And I said to staff, you know, you just need to finish up the odds and ends, because I've got to leave the building, or I'm going to spend some time in a New York City jail tonight. So
I've seen that Scottish temper. She didn't want to mess with you.
Well, so yeah, it just, you know, I knew that I needed to remove myself from the situation, and I did. And, you know, the client was great. And, but you know, this individual just made that part of the wedding a miserable experience. But, you know, we don't get those often. And so you just have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But it certainly did add a lot of stress, which was unneeded, to the day.
A lot of angst. It added angst that was just unnecessary.
I got a little box from the client saying the other day, saying, you know, we really appreciate everything that you did, and we understand the situation that you had to handle at the museum. I don't know how she heard, but she did. And I got a lovely brand new pair of Gucci shoes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's worth walking away for.
So I can be guaranteed that the lady at the museum is not sporting new Gucci's today.
What suggestion do you have for florists? Because we all encounter those people, and we have to bite our tongue because, you know, we want to maintain our professionalism.
Right.
But do you have any technique for dealing with them? Or do you think, just as you said, walking away is the most amazing way to put them in their place?
Right. You know, I mean, good question. You know, as you said, what we must do is maintain our integrity and our professionalism. And sometimes you walk away into the back of the house and just have a few minutes to calm yourself down. You know, we're going to gain nothing from exploding at that individual. And it just, if it's somewhere that you think you may return, it's most decidedly not planned, you know, to let off steam and become unprofessional about it. So,
sometimes it seems to work when you just stop and look them in the eye and say, I am not your adversary. You and I are on the team that brings this to life for our client. So we need to do a little better job of working together. And you need to remember, I am not your adversary.
Yeah. I mean, I said to her when we were moving tables for cocktail tables for the caterer, because there was a hallway that we, you know, had to put high tops in. Well, one of the reasons was we needed to put flowers and candles on those high tops, but so we needed the tables in place. But, you know, everybody was running like a scalded cat at the same time. And she said to me, just what do you think you're doing? And I said, you know, Karen, I said, this is what we call teamwork. And they need the tables moved and we need them in position. So if they don't have people that are spare to do it, then why wouldn't we? We're here anyway. We're waiting on the tables. So let's just do it. I said, you know, that is all about being part of a team. And we are this family's wedding team, which you're a part of as well. So, you know, we all need to work together.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
It surely does. It surely does. You know, because you never know that, you know, the caterer may well have helped us. You know, I've had situations in the past where, you know, I've been tabling salads because the caterers had a, you know, broke down on the way there or whatever it is. And it's just, you just have to treat others the way you wish to be treated yourself and work.
I once did a buffet where they were just putting all the fruits and vegetables and all directly on the table, and they were positioning it, and one of the caterers got hurt, and they had to rush to the hospital. So I said, I'll do this. And they said, are you a caterer? I said, no, but it's color, texture, and form, and that's what I work with every day with flowers.
Right.
So sometimes you just have to step in.
Yeah.
And sometimes other people step in for you. And that is so appreciated when suddenly someone says, I can help make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I say, you know, we were standing waiting. So it's like, why not just do it now?
Just do it.
And they had put down this beautiful white dance floor that we had done a, like a, what I call a cutting garden along the front of the stage, but installer of the dance floor had put paper down. And I said to this individual put a person in the room to watch us, which was ridiculous. You know, so all this paper was there, and they're like, oh my gosh, we got to get the paper up and blah, blah. And that, they said, well, can you do it? And I said, as a team player, yes, I will. But understand, I am only allowed 3 bags of garbage. So please don't. I'll pull the paper up, but don't count this in my garbage. So
it's not mine.
It was just, you know, something else.
Didn't you want to ask the watcher? Can't you just help here? Take
right,
this job.
No. He was like, yeah, we need to get this paper up. And I'm like, all right, well, it's not part of our job, but we're glad to do it mm-hmm. you know, make it. But here's the funny thing. At the very end of the event, you know, when we're there cleaning up and the groom's mother is now pulling our flowers out of this huge arrangement that was in the entryway. And I said, hey, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. And she looked around. She's like, oh my gosh, it's you. So at that point, Karen appeared. I mean, it was like she came out of the woodwork every time. And she said to Karen, she said, you know, well, I hope you've enjoyed working with Ian, and I hope you've gotten to know him, because our wedding is chicken feed as to things that he has done in the past. So she proceeded to, you know, have all of these allocates for me, like roll off her tongue about, you know, royalty and yada, yada. And Karen looked at me and I just stared back at her. I said, not a word, but let me tell you, it felt so good.
And that's the delight at the end of the disaster.
That's so good. I think I need a cigarette now. That was so great.
To go with that cocktail.
Exactly. So, yeah. So,
well, after your tornado and after your hurricane, in the big picture, would you say the real key to a beautiful wedding is being prepared, being flexible, and being able to hit plan A, B, C, or whatever comes after?
Right. Absolutely. You know, the thing is, it's pointless wasting energy on negative thoughts. You may as well take that time and just, you know, sometimes I just have to be myself when we have a situation like, you know, like some of these situations. And I just need a few minutes just to clear my head and think, okay, so how do we move forward with this? And, you know, and I think that's it. It's like, don't lose it, you know, stay calm and think about how do we move forward from here and mm-hmm. make this work. And so that's, it works most of the time.
I think that's the key also. If you get too hung up in what's not happening, you don't leave any brain space for what can happen. Right. And sometimes the secondary result is really better than the first would have been anyway.
You know, sometimes it is. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I maybe would never have done that. But guess what? I did. And it worked out great. So,
and I'll do it again.
Exactly. I'll refine it next time and we'll make it really work.
What is your all-time favorite wedding? Is there one that just stands out in your mind as that's how life should be? That was amazing.
You know, I think it's just when you get a really appreciative family that really know the work and the, you know, the heart and soul that has gone into making this day really special. I think there's nothing better to me than happy tears when a family, you know, walk into a tent or a venue or whatever it may be, and, you know, and they just release these happy tears because it's way better than they thought it was going to be. The one wedding that jumps to mind was actually President Bush's niece. And we did Marshall's wedding, and it was really quite gorgeous. And again, we had to encounter, you know, rain and inclement weather and think on our feet and do such things. And then she and her husband came into the reception tent when everything was over and done. And of course, we're dealing with Secret Service and everything because, 41 being the bride's grandfather and Barbara Bush were still alive at that time. The wedding may have been, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. And she came into the tent. She's like, oh my goodness, this is so gorgeous. And she's crying. She's like, you know, that I just did not imagine it would look this good. And I said, well, I'm over and out now. You know, you've seen it. She said, no, don't leave because my uncle and my grandpa are going to take photographs with you. And I was like,
very cool.
Wait a minute. This was 41 and 43 that, you know, that we were having photographs taken with, and Barbara Bush and Laura Bush as well. So it was lovely. And Laura was like, my goodness, these flowers are so beautiful. And I said, well, you know, I had some practice. I was the chairperson for for W's inauguration. And she's like, no. And he said, you know how many people have told me that? And I said, yeah, but this is the truth this time. So, they were a very, very delightful family to deal with, you know, and it was nice to see the ordinary side of them, the family side, rather than the presidents that we knew. So that was quite lovely.
And I have heard what a delightful family they were. In fact, when I was working in the flower shop in the White House one time, someone, an employee in the White House said that Barbara Bush was everyone's favorite first lady, that she was like everyone's grandmother, and she would stop you in the hall and ask about your mom or somebody in your family that had sickness or something. And they said she was just the most delightful lady.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, I mean, we encountered her a few times, and she was as pleasant as could be every time we met her, you know, but just very, very humble, actually, which was lovely.
And I think people appreciate that. So as we wind this up, I'm so thankful that you joined us today. I know what a busy week you had and how hard it was to find time for us, and I just appreciate it so much. But is there any last words you would leave for florists in terms of working with challenges? We all have challenges as we do any type of event, but weddings are even more important because it's someone's special day of their lifetime. what would be your best advice in terms of just dealing with challenges and trying to change something from disaster to delight?
You know, when you're in the throes of things and you're in the trenches, and I kind of touched on this earlier, but I think the most important thing is keep a clear head. There's always a solution. You just need to take the time to find that solution. And as you said just a few minutes ago, sometimes things turn out better than you thought they were going to, because sometimes, and myself included, you work best under pressure. And,
yes.
You know, and I do work best under pressure. I mean, so I think if you just take the time to think clearly and really think out the solution and how you're going to move forward with it is the best thing that I could say.
That's excellent advice. Stop, realize there is a solution, and find it.
Right.
That's the best advice. Thank you so much, Ian. I knew this was going to be so interesting, and I just appreciate you being with us and sharing the details of disasters that you did turn into delight.
Yeah, you're most welcome. It was my pleasure to be here.
So glad you were. Well, today, Smithers Oasis North America, Ian and I want to thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to hit subscribe. You don't want to miss the inspired solutions our upcoming guests will share with you for your personal or business growth. If you have topics or a guest you would like to hear, please message me. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, I'm Sharon McGuckin, reminding you that like the unfurling petals of a flower, we grow by changing form, soaking inspiration in like raindrops, absorbing energy from others like warmth from the sun. This growth opens us up to new ideas, and that's how we bloom.